If you could do one more extinct or alive, what animal?
That's a great question.
You want the honest answer?
No, I want a lie.
Okay, well, the lie is...
Wild times. We're back.
Cool music.
Not dead yet.
Egghead.
Still living. Egghead.
Egghead.
I have a beautiful head.
Silly face.
All right. The awkwardness is for the end.
Yeah, let's save it.
Sorry. All right. Woo! Well, welcome back. This is the Wild Times episode number 112.
Ridiculous.
We are in the studio, which is Peter's living room.
Yeah.
Yep. Formal living room.
Drinking some tasty Fat Tire.
Cheers, mate.
Salud.
Cheers.
Salud.
Crisp, fresh, refreshing.
Cheers to Fat Tire, official sponsor of the Wild Times pod, which is pretty big. I got my nice little beanie koozie here.
These things are sweet, dude.
Yeah, it's nice.
They treat you
nice, mate.
Look at that.
Well, there's a lot going on, man.
We haven't done the intros.
Just shit. Do it. Do it.
I am your host, Forrest Galante, the broologist. Joining me on my left, the not at all sickly, queasy, or strange, Mr.
Strange, for sure.
Peter, PhD in podcasting, the professor, Ratep.
Yep. Glad to be here. Happy you guys are in-house.
Thanks for having me.
Always fun. We got some new mic stands. We're getting real profesh here. Yep. My dog's sniffing his ass on camera. He just got a mohawk haircut.
He did.
Doing good.
Yeah.
You guys?
Great.
Very well, thanks. And as always, on his left, looking particularly dapper with
his
beanie pulled as far back as his hairline will allow.
You kind of like, you know, this is what the kids are doing.
It's what the kids are doing.
Yeah.
The one and only producer, Patrick DeLuca.
Hey, man.
How are you?
Great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good day to be alive, right? We're here.
It's a good day to be alive.
This. Always a good day to be alive.
You know, you're about to go on a big trip.
I got a trip coming up. You're going to Vegas, aren't you?
Yeah, it's just me and Kyle just going to shoot a little something.
He's 9 years old. What are you going to do with him in Vegas?
He's filming. He's not gambling.
Okay.
Not boozing.
All right, good.
Good. But it's not going to be as fun as tromping around South Africa looking for sharks.
Yeah, South Africa is up first. I got two back-to-back. South Africa first, followed by Australia. The spot we're going to Australia is actually probably number one bucket list place for me to go. So Kyle's shaking his head because he doesn't get to go. He's so upset. I do feel sorry for him.
Can you say where in Australia?
Yeah, fuck it. Who cares?
Where?
Kyle, let's go ahead and pull it up. Exmouth. Exmouth, Australia. If you're listening, you can see this on the Wild Times YouTube channel. It is just an incredible diving location. It's basically...
Dang.
The Baja of Australia. It's like desert with crystal blue waters and crazy, crazy marine life, and specifically Nigaloo Reef, Kyle. If you can Google Nigaloo Reef, where we're going to be doing a lot of diving.
What kind of, what's the wildlife situation there?
Insane.
Yeah.
Wow, look at that reef.
Like 20 plus species of shark, 20 plus species of sea snake, highest density of sea snakes in the world, whale sharks, manta rays.
Wow.
Just crazy. Like just blue water.
Yeah, look at that
harsh
water.
Desert. Yeah, I mean, it looks real nice.
So where is that in relation to the Great Barrier Reef?
Opposite coast.
Oh.
Coast. Yeah, we're on the west coast, basically halfway between Perth and Darwin.
Got it.
This is like what I've heard you mention before in conversation. This is like a bucket list item for you.
Big time. Big time. I mean, I always enjoy Australia, but I've wanted to go to Nigaloo, to the reef, and to Coral Bay and Exmouth for a very long time. You know, it's been made famous by Brody Moss. Do you know who he is? Youngbloods Spearfishing on Instagram. Have you seen him, Patrick?
No, we don't consume as much spearfishing content
as
you
do. He's got 4 million subscribers, not spearfishing content.
Okay. Why isn't he on this podcast?
Good question. Well, he just does a lot of really cool adventures, but he lives there. And the town there, Coral Bay, I mean, people that listen to this are going to get upset, but it's like 200, 300 people. It's tiny.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a tiny little place. And he obviously lives there and, you know, just films all this great stuff and it just looks insane. So really excited for that.
Yeah. I mean, it looks crazy, man. I have never been to a place that is anything like this.
Well, with just like the pristine
the water there.
Blue
Look
water.
At that town. It's such like a tiny little
That's
town.
It. That's the whole thing.
Wow.
I would go swimming every day.
That's why we're doing
water.
Yeah.
Warm. Water's warm there.
Yeah. Yeah. Warm, clear, all kinds of cool critters. I'm very, very excited. And before that, South Africa, we're studying endemic sharks. You know, looking at a bunch of different small native species, some big ones. So yeah, it's going to be a busy spring for sure.
Yeah, man.
It's nice to get in here with you boys.
Yeah, dude.
Mate. So we won't see you then for like 3 months after this or what?
Pretty much. Yeah.
The audience will.
Yeah. You'll be here.
Right.
Virtually.
Yeah, exactly. Did you ever go to the Whit Sundays?
I have been to the Whit Sundays. Yeah. Beautiful.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Went there, did they let you swim?
Yeah.
Okay. Cause when I went there, there was a box jellyfish bloom.
Oh, shit.
And they were very nervous about swimming. I hopped in, but they were like, get out.
Yeah, no, yeah, we were good to go. You couldn't swim off Fraser Island.
Yes.
Too
many tiger sharks and crocodiles.
Yeah.
That sounds...
Have crocs there?
Yeah.
Didn't even know
Big
that.
Big salties coming out of that region.
Yeah, the Whit Sundays is wonderful.
Yeah.
Like, definitely, like, it was part of, like, a spring break trip.
Right.
I was in Australia.
Right, you're right.
You're studying abroad there.
I was studying abroad, but it's like part of this trip. We're on a bus, whatever. But then you get on a sailboat, you live aboard for like 3 or 4 days and just like cruise the Whit Sunday Islands, which I'd never heard of.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
It's like the best thing I did there.
Yeah, pretty
unbelievable.
Remarkable. Do you like go snorkeling and shit?
Yeah, you just jump off the boat, you just drink booze, you stop at these islands. It's all white sand beaches and pristine waters. It's pretty nice.
It's much more tropical than where we just looked at. Like we're looking at Blue and Exmouth. That's desert. That's outback meets ocean.
Right.
Whit Sundays is like lush green tropical white sand. I mean, it's very iconic.
Wow, yeah, that's some beautiful. It's just like a shitload of islands that look like that.
So what would you do, Kyle? There's a famous video. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's Brody Moss's video of, I think it's a elegant sea snake swimming up to a guy on a paddleboard. Just type that in, like sea snake. Paddleboard,
like an elegant, like it did it elegantly, or
very elegantly. Yeah, it was very, very beautiful. Yeah, here you go. That first video right here. What would you do in this situation? I'm curious, Peter. What do you think of this?
How big is that thing?
Probably 4 feet long.
Oh my God.
There you go. Look at this. It is broken.
He like waves it in.
Knowing that one bite of that has enough venom to kill around 1,000 people.
No. Even not knowing that, like,
what are your thoughts?
He's on like a paddleboard.
Yep.
Oh my God, dude. That is fucking crazy.
It came and just gave him a look?
Yeah. I think he was thinking about crawling up, you know, to get out of the water for a minute and saw him and was like, nah, it's not it.
I would have probably used my paddle to...
You would have flipped out.
I'm not like any more scared of snakes than the normal person, but that's a weird interaction. Yeah,
but you're pretty awkward in the ocean, to be honest. I've seen you very comfortable in a lot of settings, and I've never seen you less comfortable than in the ocean.
I'm not a good ocean farer.
Didn't you take him like at night into the ocean? What were you doing?
And during the day around
swimming. No, I'm a bad ocean guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable.
I mean, honestly, I would never be in that situation knowing that those snakes are in the water. Like the fact that snake just trailed off and went back under the water is more terrifying than me knowing where it's at by my fucking paddle.
Right. Right. You know what I mean? I didn't realize they were super venomous like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Terrible.
And what's their aggression like? Are they aggressive?
So it's interesting. I've been talking to this guy, Brian Fry. He's a really fascinating guy. He's a scientist on the East Coast of Australia. He's probably the world's leading like toxicologist when it comes to sea snake venom, or certain snake venoms. And I was always under the... Because I've worked with banded sea crates and yellow-bellied sea snakes, which are two different species to what we just saw.
Yeah.
They're both very, very like... The banded sea crates, you like pick them up, play with them, and they just do nothing. And I was talking about sea snakes with Brian Fry, and he's like, oh, no. Like, do not approach... I forget which species he was saying. He's like, they will, like... They have actual aggression, not defensiveness, like actual aggression.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, apparently... And the nuances of those sea snakes, too, like... The olive, the elegant, and some of the beaked and stuff, they pretty much all look the same.
For sure.
And so it's like, yeah, you just have to really know, because apparently some of them will just chow on you instantly. Yeah,
or just stay the fuck away from every single kind of
that doesn't
one of
sound
them.
Like me, does it now?
Dude, I mean...
Well, you might not be able to help it either, right? If you're going to be in the water every day.
Yeah. Well, listen, here's the problem. Again, reflecting back, if it was me, say I fall off the paddleboard and the snake's coming up, which I would. I'd fall off the paddleboard when it's coming up.
Probably.
I'd be flailing about in the water, and if it's aggressive, it's going to think I'm trying to attack it when really I'm just trying to swim away.
Probably.
I'm dead. I'm a dead man.
You're a dead man swimming.
Forrest told us a story on one of the bonus pods about a Jewfish when he was out in the water that came and ate up to his dick on his leg.
That's how I said it. That is how I said it.
How insane is this? This guy is going to fuck it. He just goes in the water where there's snakes and crocodiles. You're insane.
The most dangerous Thanks. Thing you will do on this entire trip.
Thanks, Charlie.
I don't continue once I've been interrupted by a dog. The most dangerous thing you'll probably do is like the ride from the airport in Cape Town, though.
For sure.
Yeah.
Landing in Johannesburg International Airport is the most dangerous part of this trip.
Yes.
You have, we all have like armed guards, right?
No. Who the fuck do you think I am? I'm not the president.
Not you, but I
armed
mean,
armed guards. You don't travel with armed guards.
When you guys went, you had like security when you guys go out there and shit.
That's true.
They're unarmed.
Yeah.
Oh, they're not armed?
No.
No. They fucking do kung fu or something?
Pretty much.
Yes, actually.
What?
No, they just kind of keep an eye out.
You can't just like bring like an assault rifle with you.
I didn't know. I was hoping.
I mean, that's fair.
We had the armed military guards the one time in Madagascar.
That's true.
That's the time
when
I'm
we
thinking
went to
about.
Singi.
But that was when every single convoy that went up there was being murdered.
Jesus.
But, yeah.
You guys are nuts.
Not us, though.
So what are you doing in Vegas? Anything?
Just a little development sizzle. Try to sell the show.
You out there for like a day, too?
I think Kyle and I are going to go out for a full weekend, man.
Nice.
A couple days shoot. Hopefully sell the show. Probably not.
You're going to do some partying? What's that drink you like?
Oh, my Vegas drink.
Your Vegas drink.
Harvey Wallbanger.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Have you ever had one, Kyle?
You're going to.
You only drink them in Vegas. So we'll get a couple when we're there. It's fantastic.
You guys.
Vodka, orange juice, and Galliano, which is an anise flavored liqueur.
Right.
So black licorice.
Yeah, and it just blends together and it just tastes like a party. Just
you sure you want to do that and not just like 30 white Russians in the Vegas sun?
Yeah. I made the mistake once of drinking a whole night of martini espressos or espresso martinis in Vegas.
God.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Drink 10 of those.
No good.
No good, dude. It's too
felt
much.
Like I was
fluff.
On Coke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a nightmare.
God, Coke. What a nightmare.
That's going to be fun. I mean, that part of Australia looks amazing.
It does.
Really what
does.
Part of Africa are you going?
So we'll be in South Africa. First, we're going up to St. Lucia.
Right.
Do some fishing. And then from there, we're going to go over to.
See what St. Lucia looks like.
Yeah, it's very pretty. And then a lot of hippos.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of hippos. And
dangerous.
That's where there's that iconic, famous footage of the hippo, the bull shark, and the Nile crocodile all together.
Yeah.
That was in the bay in St. Lucia.
Wow, that looks beautiful.
Yeah, look at that one. No, wait, go back, Kyle, where the hippo's in town. That's like a regular sight there.
Hippos in town. It could be a good movie.
Isn't that wild?
Dude, what are you, just fucking carry an elephant gun with you if you
no,
live in this
they're
town?
Just, they're just like pretty used to people.
Oh, it's just walking up to a lady.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, because...
Holy shit.
I mean, that's different than like the hippos that you encountered in South Africa.
These are ones that are around people. I mean, look, you still don't want to go like shooing them. You know, but they're used to people and people are used to them and they just keep their distance.
Yeah.
I was watching a video of this zookeeper feeding a hippo the other day.
Okay.
And I was really surprised that, you know, it opens its mouth. She's putting some sort of like cantaloupe or something in there.
Yeah.
And she reaches in to place it on the tongue. And, you know, but like reaches in, dude.
Yeah.
And like places it on the tongue and then just like casually pulls her arm out and then it
just
chomps down.
Yeah, there was a famous one. Her name was like Sarah or something. It had like a very generic woman's name that was a hand-raised hippo in South Africa. People used to go, my sister went and like play with it and feed it and hand it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just different, right? It's like Siegfried and Roy had those lions and tigers and stuff, but you don't go walking around with tigers in the bush, you know? It's like...
True.
They
One of them got fucked eventually by the tiger, though, I'm pretty sure.
I think he got beat up, not fucked by it, but...
Yeah, it didn't rape him.
Yeah.
I did see a documentary on YouTube or something one time where there's a family of hippos that these people, like, raised or something. The hippos were out in the wild on the river, but they would come back in... And like come and hang out at the house and shit. And it's pretty like disconcerting to be like a hippo will either kill you. Like it could just kill you immediately.
It's not a trustworthy animal. It is not.
Well, like you say, their whole lives are very skittish, meager.
Yeah. Meager. Kyle.
They're not meager.
No.
Look how casual she is with her hand. She wasn't even looking.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that hippo is used to being fed. It's used to it. Notice the very thick bars between her and the hippo.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not... I mean, there was a guy who was riding his hippo and shit and he got killed by it.
Wait, people are petting?
Yeah, we did. We did a daily
video. I've never touched a hippo.
What do they feel like?
Caressing the hippo.
I've never, one's touched me, but I've never touched a hippo either, so I don't know the answer.
That just feels like a bad idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the problem. And look how cute the babies are. They're such crazy animals.
I mean, that's like a 400-pound baby animal.
Yep. Hey, guys, if you're enjoying... Whoops. One more time. Guys, if you like The Wild Times, check us out on Patreon. We put out 4 extra podcasts per month.
That's one commute a week that you're just going to be laughing and learning the whole time in the car. Hey, let me do something else. This is the late-night content, stuff that we can't show on YouTube because they'll kick us off YouTube.
It's the Cinemax of podcasts. Uncensored, raw dog. It's the Cinemax of podcasts. Check it out. Link right here.
But yeah, armed guards. What are you thinking, man?
What? I mean, I just think.
Would
that...
you go if I said, all right, Peter, you're coming with. You're just going to be like a hangout buddy trip, but you have to do exactly what I say. Would you do it?
No, of course not. That's
he doesn't want to be told what to do.
No, but I mean, I'm assuring you that I'll keep you safe. But
still
I'm going to
no.
make you do terrible things.
Nah, I mean, I've heard when you guys took Mitch out to wherever the fuck that was and you made him, what was he? He was taking some kind of shot out of...
Oh, on Bourbon Street.
Yeah, the Bourbon Street. And he had to sit in like a chair and you got... And didn't he get lost or Justin got lost and stranded on the streets?
Night. That whole night was something.
Like, they're safe, like you say, but it's still not a good thing.
It's not a good thing. Did you guys see that? Should we do What's in the News?
I think
yes,
so.
Yeah. Yes.
What's in the News?
What is in the news?
Did you guys see that they discovered 35 new species of fish?
No.
Mm-mm.
Who did? Yeah. Who's
that? Cool. So they did a survey in a Bolivian national park. And it's one thing to discover a new species of fish. They did a survey of the freshwater in this Bolivian national park, found 35 new species.
Now, are these like little tiny fish, like the size of a...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, it's still cool.
But it's still really cool. I mean, to find that many new species in one area. And there's really unique and interesting stuff, right? Like elephant fish with the long trunk, the small mouth.
Hey, look at that.
Electric eels and a lot of different species of catfish, because catfish, like there's just thousands of species of catfish. I don't know. Just thought it was
so cool. This is in a national park in Bolivia. Is this adjacent to the Amazon?
It would be part of the tributaries for the Amazon.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Bolivia is very, very high up on my list. There's a place called Simani Lodge, where they basically all they do is fly fishing for golden Dorado. Do you know what a golden Dorado is?
Oh, of course not.
Well, that's okay. I mean, if you're into fly fishing and sport fishing, this thing.
Oh, wow.
This thing's very high up on my list. This is a freshwater fish.
How the fuck do you catch that fly fishing? I mean, I've never been fly fishing, but don't you just whip it in and whip it out? When you catch the fish, do you whip the fish back?
Oh, it's like so many bad questions. No, so first of all...
whip it out.
So you just whipped them out onto the shore.
No, oh my God. You do throw the fly based on the weight of the line, but then you let it sit on the water.
Okay.
It acts like, you know, there's a fish or a minnow or a bug or something on the surface of the water.
And then the current makes the line move.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why they call it fly fishing.
There you go. But yeah, so those golden Dorado, they're the closest living relative of the tiger fish, of which when I was a little kid, for a very short period of time, I had the junior world record, which are native to Zimbabwe and basically nowhere else, which is why it's not that impressive. But yeah, and so next highest fish on my list to catch is those golden Dorado.
Are they like good eating, or are they you release them? Catch and release? I don't know anything about it.
That's okay.
Are they?
Wait, is it really catch and release?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Are they rare?
The golden Dorado?
Yeah.
They're not rare. They
hard
just don't
catch.
Occur in a very large area. They're hard to catch, and they're incredibly powerful.
Mm.
So, like, they just go absolutely nuts when you hook one.
Okay.
So, it's a big challenge to catch one on a fly and land it. And that Simani Lodge place I was talking about just looks incredible. It's in these crystal clear rivers in Bolivia with, like, these big boulders and these rapids. And you, like, fling a fly, and you see these golden Dorado, like, launch at the fly and go, like, 5 feet in
Dude,
the air.
It's that's so interesting because, like, I've never thought of Bolivia. It's never even been on my radar of, like... This would be a cool place to go take a trip.
Yeah, it's up there for me.
Interesting.
You know, I changed my answer. I might go on a trip with you, all expenses paid for the podcast filmed, to like some beautiful place like that and do...
Well, these are all beautiful places.
That's what I'm saying.
Right, but if we go to Bolivia on that trip I just mentioned, I'm going to get an anaconda and put it in your bed.
Oh, well, no, never mind.
But it's an all expenses
never
paid
mind.
Trip.
No.
No. Well, I mean, I guess if you film it, because it's for the brosners.
For the...
Yeah.
All right, exactly. What else we got in the news? So, yeah, I just like that discovery. There was all kinds of stuff, migratory catfish. It's cool. A lot of fish to be found. This was pretty interesting. They released an article in Science Daily that echidnas, you know, echidnas from Australia, a little spiky animal.
Yeah, yeah.
Blow bubbles to keep cool.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah, I thought this was pretty fascinating.
Like, whose bubbles?
How does this work? How does this keep them cool?
So apparently by blowing bubbles out of their noses, the evaporative process, like the same as like when you get out of the shower and it's evaporating off your skin, cools them down. And so when it's really hot, you know, because they can't pant, they can't sweat like a dog, they blow these bubbles out of their nose and the evaporative mucus stuff coming off their nose cools down their body. Cools down their blood, really, because, you know, your nose is full of blood vessels and,
So this is something they just discovered?
Well, I just saw the article, but yeah, in Science Daily. But yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was really neat. Also, echidnas are basically the coolest animal there is. So
what else?
The article is saying that this may be a newer behavior.
Hmm.
Oh, so maybe
that they're using to adapt to the climate getting warmer.
Wow. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, my soul might also just be involuntary, right? It's like, God, it's hot. Like
sweating.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. What makes echidnas so cool?
Yeah.
A spiky marsupial hedgehog that lays eggs.
I mean, they are pretty cool.
With like a 2-foot-long tongue.
Yeah. I mean, they're just bizarre.
Not really.
Yeah. It's like a porcupine. It's in the porcupine family?
Negative.
No?
Nope.
Oh.
Yeah, they lay
marsupial.
Eggs. That's bizarre.
Oh, so they have a pouch.
Yeah, well, it's a monotreme. It's not really a marsupial.
Oh,
it's
my God. So many things I don't understand.
Doesn't matter. They're different, Peter. They're different.
Okay.
They're built different.
Yeah.
That's cool. Did you see any when you were there in Australia?
Yeah. We found echidna.
How big are they?
They're like... This big?
Size of a softball.
Yeah. It's about right.
Fucking pretty cute.
I love those little spiky critters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's remember like when we were in Madagascar, we flipped over the logs. Oh, wait, that was after you left, I think.
Oh, it might have been the first time.
People don't know about that story.
I feel like, I probably told the story. Yeah, I had to leave the first time we went early.
Yeah.
To go with someone who was dying on our crew.
Yeah.
To get medevaced out.
Have you heard the story?
I've heard it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we've talked about it.
I left and I missed a couple days of action. And it sucked, too, because we were in the most beautiful place.
It was insane.
In Madagascar. Yeah. And someone needed to go with the dying female crew member.
What happened to... What? I'm not sure I know what happened to the person that had to be medevaced. Why did they have to be medevaced?
Had like 105 temperature for like 3 days.
Tick bite fever, massive infection.
Oh, so they got bit by something.
Yeah,
it was not good.
Such a...
A tick burrowed into her butt cheek when we were in Zanzibar.
Yep.
And then we went to Madagascar and was getting worse and worse and then got really, really, really sick.
Yeah.
To the point where our medic said she needs to get to...
Hands in the air.
Like,
pretty much.
Need to get her to a hospital now.
Wasn't the best medic we've ever had either.
No.
Wasn't there...
Smoking,
I mean,
a lot
wasn't...
of weed.
How was the medical care out there? I mean...
Wasn't good.
Wasn't good. You ended up going to a hospital
in Johannesburg.
In Johannesburg.
First in Madagascar, that was not great. And then in Johannesburg was probably the worst experience of my life. and then was able to like weasel her onto a plane to get back to New York.
Yeah.
Where an ambulance picked us up at JFK.
Yeah.
And she went to the NYU Medical Center.
Well, wasn't it like in Johannesburg and Madagascar, they couldn't like figure out what it was?
Didn't know. And in Johannesburg, they didn't care. That was the thing.
They never really figured it out, right?
In New York, I thought weren't they able to...
No, New York was a fucking weird situation too. Well, I mean, by the time we got to New York, her family had come to meet.
Yeah.
Sure.
So that she wasn't just with the executive producer of the show.
Right.
And so the family started getting involved. But even that was a clusterfuck because one doctor came in and ordered a spinal tap. Then another doctor came in and was like, this is insane. Like,
she get a spinal tap?
No.
Because it got changed.
Another doctor came in and was like, I heard they ordered a spinal tap. That's a bad idea. So it was really, really strange. Really strange.
And stressful. But so they ended up, did she just get better? They have to get, they finally gave her something that worked?
Yeah.
So it was like an antibiotic?
That's what it was.
Just what was that?
Literal common antibiotic.
Doxy.
Doxycycline.
Yeah.
Which is like what you get when you have chlamydia or something.
No, like she was one of the only crew members taking anti-malarial and she was taking Malarone.
Yeah.
We
Which
take
told everybody not to do.
Yeah. So we advise anyone who wants to take it to take doxycycline.
Right. Okay.
And the travel clinics are like, no, take Malarone.
Yeah.
Just take Malarone.
And they get paid more for like.
That's exactly right. It's much more expensive.
Yep.
And doxy's just as effective for malaria, but it's also effective for other shit.
Yeah.
Right, sure.
A general antibiotic.
Yeah, so it was like a African tick bite fever with a staph infection compounding it. And
yikes.
Real gnarly. She was sick for a long time.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if she was taking the doxy or whatever, it would have been okay.
I have to imagine it would have been helpful because it
probably would have wiped it out.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was the infection that was probably the worst part of
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Those anti-malarial pills, I'm not taking them, but I know some people who have. They said it like can really fuck with your head and make you kind of go
have
crazy.
Have I ever told my wife's story of being on Malarone?
No.
I don't think so.
Oh my God, this story's insane.
Let's have
it. So the first time I ever went to Madagascar, all these bad things happen in Madagascar.
I know.
We gotta stop going to Madagascar.
Yeah, I'm full up.
Time I ever went to Madagascar, we went to Isolo National Park. And, you know, I told my wife, so by the way, Malarone, which is the medication that we're discussing about malarial medication, the lighter skinned you are, the lighter complexion, lighter, you know, fairer you are, the more it seems to affect people.
Oh, interesting.
And the doctors tell you that. It's like, hey, and my wife's like, you know, she's like full blonde
hair. She's as pale as I am.
Yeah.
She's as pale as your shirt.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
She's very, very fair. And anyway, first time we went to Madagascar, we went to Isolo, and I was like, I'm not touching that stuff. I grew up without it, blah, blah, blah. I grew up in a country with malaria. I'm not having it. And she's like, all right, well, the doctor prescribed it. I'm going to take the Malarone.
Yeah.
And it compounds, right? So like, you know, at first you don't feel anything and then you start having weird dreams. It like builds up in your system. And so we were like a week plus into the trip and the worst cocktail is to like be dehydrated, mm-hmm. right? As it always is, have Malarone and then be in the sun. The sun exposure seems to amplify the effect of it.
Yeah.
And so we went on this massive hike in Isolo, ran out of water like halfway through. It was like, the guy told us it was like a couple hours. It was like a 14-mile hike. It took like, we got there pre-dawn because we wanted to see the sunrise over Isolo, and we got out after dark. And it was a long, amazing, like loved it.
Skinny
dipping and had these brown lemurs come and steal fruit from us. And awesome, but like massive hike. And we get back to our very shitty hotel that night that was in the heart of like the, not rubies, what are the stones they've... Anyway, it's like all these bandits, and it was like we couldn't afford anything. We were super young and broke and everything.
Yeah.
And go to this terrible hotel that we're staying in, no air conditioning, right? And in Madagascar, it's boiling hot.
Sure.
Go to bed. Everything's fine. Eat a normal dinner. Go to bed. And in the middle of the night, I just hear screaming. She's like, you're like, ah! I wake up, and I'm like, what's going on? Jessica, what's up? What's up? She's like, my skin is ripping off.
Oh.
I'm like, what are you talking about? She's sweating because it's boiling hot. And her skin is sticking to the bed sheets. But because she's had this Malarone, this massive sun exposure, and is probably dehydrated from the hike, her hallucinations are so vivid they've overcome her lucid state. Like she is literally like losing her mind. And so she's like screaming. Whoa. And at first I'm like super compassionate. I'm like, Jess, you're okay, sweetie. Like, I don't know what's going on, but everything's fine. And she's like, no, my skin is melting off. And like, I like started to like, this went on for hours. Like after like 15 minutes, I was like, Jessica, knock it off. Like, there's nothing wrong with you. Like, I don't know what's going on, but like, stop it. And so eventually, like after half an hour plus of this, she like gets out of bed. And she's like, my skin. She like runs into the shower.
Yeah.
And this is in our shithole, like dirtbag flea infested hotel. Yeah. Runs into the shower, turns the shower on cold and starts chugging water out of the shower in Madagascar.
Oh.
She's like hallucinating. Her skin's melting.
Whoa.
Blah, blah, blah.
Not
you can
good.
Imagine what happened the following like 4 days.
You had Madagascar flu.
Yeah, she got Montezuma's revenge really bad.
Yeah,
so she did not enjoy the rest of our time in Madagascar.
Icky.
And it was all a result of the Malarone. Like, the only reason she was chugging the water is because she was having this hallucination. Her skin was falling.
Right.
And, you know, she stopped it that day. She's like, I'm never touching that stuff.
Did it go away, like, the next day with the hallucinations died down and like, she was good?
She sort of, like, came to in the shower and was like, okay, I'm okay. Like, my skin's okay, you know? And she was like, whoa. She was, like, super sweaty and everything. She's like, all right, I think I'm good. And, like, went back to bed.
Yeah.
And was fine until basically the next night. And then it, like, all kicked in.
Gotcha.
Know, drinking the water.
So basically they give you acid to when you go to fucking
like
Madagascar.
Sad, not good acid.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like,
some weed.
If you do the research and you, like, talk to, like, medics and doctors that aren't, like, being paid by your insurance provider.
Right.
Like, off the record, everyone's like, definitely take Doxy.
Yeah.
But, like, I will tell that to, like, my mom and stepdad.
Oh, no, no, no.
And their doctor told them to take Malarone.
Take Malarone.
Yep.
It's a more expensive drug. Yeah. All right, we've said enough negative stuff about Madagascar.
Right.
Right. Before I'd ever been there, you think of Madagascar like the movie.
Yep.
Right?
Totally.
Yeah, totally.
It's this unbelievably cool island. So here's what I want to do.
Okay.
You've been there 3 times.
I have.
I've only been twice.
Yep.
So, Forrest, off the top of your head, I want your list of your favorite. Give me a number that would be a good number.
5.
Your 5 favorite endemic species to Madagascar.
Ooh.
Okay.
And Kyle's going to pull up pictures.
Okay.
And it's going to be fun.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Because there are thousands to choose from.
Well, and that's what's so amazing about Madagascar is something like 94%, I'm making this number up, but it's very, very high, of the creatures that are endemic, meaning they occur nowhere else on the planet.
Insane.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Insane. It's a massive place.
I'm going to go 5-1.
Okay.
Okay. Right. Coming in at number 5, the satanic leaf-tailed gecko.
Sounds like a lizard, yeah?
Oh, yeah. It's a gecko. And its tail probably looks like a leaf.
Okay, so that you can pull these things up.
Wow, dude, look at that. Look at the face on there.
Look at the coloration.
Look at
that. The real
creature.
Look at that.
Looks, I mean, dude, and camoed as a leaf. The fact that the eyes are also the same color as a leaf.
Look at that.
The one
is that real?
Is bullshit. That's okay. That's added wings. But
got it. These fuckers.
How can you, like, believe anything online anymore?
And we've seen him. Patrick and I have seen him. We saw him on the little island on the way to what was the name of that place?
On the way to.
Wow! Look at that one, dude. It looks like
Mashwala.
Mashwala.
Exactly like a fucking leaf.
It's funny because it looks like a leaf. And so someone was like, we got to call it a leaf-tailed gecko. And then someone was like, yeah, but look at the face too.
Yeah, it's pretty dope.
We were Satan in there?
Yeah.
That's a dope animal.
That is a dope fucking animal. Not found anywhere but Madagascar, huh?
All right. So that's number 5. Number 4, Jackson's chameleon.
Kay. Saw one of those too.
I don't think we saw Jackson. Oh, Parsons. Okay. Parsons are the ones that get this big.
That's
which
right.
Is probably pretty close on that.
Oh, yeah. I've seen.
I picked Jackson's just for the horns.
Yeah.
Like, I think Parsons are really cool because they're way bigger. Panthers are amazing because of the colors. But the Jackson's, something about that Triceratops.
It is a Triceratops.
Yeah, it's an existing Triceratops.
That's it.
Imagine if Triceratops were those colors.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We have no
they
idea.
Were. Yeah,
yeah they might have been.
They were. That we make up
they
like dinosaur
been.
Colors. They were green. They were brown. We have no idea. They could all look like this.
Yeah, exactly.
No idea. We have absolutely no idea.
So is there something special about that animal with its horns? Or what are the horns for? Mating?
Yeah, it's got to be sexual selection. I guess I don't actually know the answer, but I'm sure it's ISD, industry standard definition, peacocking.
Yeah.
Just showing off.
All chameleons are endemic to Madagascar, right?
All of the species of chameleon in Madagascar are endemic to Madagascar.
Okay.
But chameleons exist on the subcontinent of Africa.
Got it. Okay.
A few other species.
But all from Africa.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Except for a very small population of veiled, or maybe it's flapneck. No, veiled chameleons that for whatever reason got introduced a very long time ago and are now their own subspecies, I believe, in Portugal.
Portugal.
In one
you
part
wouldn't think
Portugal,
that.
Tiny little place.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Isn't that wild?
Yeah. All right. So we've got a couple lizards. Are we going to have any non-lizards on this list?
No, it's all lizards.
God damn.
All right. Coming in at number 3, and I'm only going to pick this. There are so many cool lemurs there. There are rough lemurs.
Oh, yeah.
There are night lemurs. There are rat. There's so many cool lemurs, but your generic ring-tailed lemur.
Sure.
It occurs nowhere else. It's so goddamn cute.
I know. That's yeah. why you always, every zoo in the country has them.
It's King Julian.
Yeah.
Honestly, they don't, like, the temperaments of the brown lemurs are better than these guys, but just look at that ring-tailed lemur.
Yeah.
I thought you might have gone with the mouse lemur.
Mouse lemurs are adorable.
They're so goddamn cute.
And the eye for me, just real quick, Kyle, I didn't put it on the list because I want to move on to two even weirder animals, but just Google I just gave away my number one.
Oh.
Damn it. That's okay.
Well, we got to look at it now.
That's all right. I'll just switch it up. I should be on the list. This was my number one for sure, was the eye.
They all have like crazy demonic eyes and face, all of these animals that you've shown, except for the
horned lizard. Has been driven to near extinction in many places because of their demonic look.
Really?
Yeah, because the locals see them as like a bad omen and have bumped them on the head and whatnot. But what
there was a lady in
they're
my
bigger
old neighborhood.
Than you think too.
She, yeah, they're like they're yeah. pretty big. They're not. Yeah,
there was a lady in my old neighborhood. Her car was all filled with trash all the time to the brim. I'm talking. She's sitting in the front seat, looked just like that.
All right, well, that's my number one. Then my number two, oh, this is an easy one, Fusa.
Yeah, okay. I was hoping that would make the list.
Yeah. Do you know what the Fusa is?
Nope.
Can you guess?
Fill me in.
Oh, too late.
It's a lion.
Yep.
Wow.
They're insane, dude.
Yeah.
We were lucky enough to get very close to several of these.
It almost looks like a mountain lion, kind of.
That encounter that we had with the Fusa,
yeah.
Patrick was with me. We built this blind. This Fusa came cruising in. Courtney was there. It actually ended up like biting my shoe.
Sure did.
It's weird because the situation wasn't like the best situation I've ever seen an animal in. But that's an animal that I've been obsessed with since I was like 6 years old.
What do you love about it?
It's just like, it's so weird. It's evolved. So its wrists go 180 degrees. So it can go up and down trees vertically, which is insane.
That's nuts.
It's incredibly voracious, even though it doesn't look like it. It's the only predator.
That's a big animal.
It's big, yeah. I mean, not like a lion big, but, you know, like much bigger than Charlie.
Yeah.
It's the only like lemur hunting animal in Madagascar. I don't know. I don't know why I've always been so obsessed. You know, it's a gnarly carnivore that's packed into this small, weird... It'd be like saying a wolverine.
Right.
What family is that in? Do you know?
It's like, its own family. A Fusidae, I think, is the genus. But it's totally its own thing.
Yeah.
And it's like between a canine and a cat. It's like
it really is.
One. Yeah.
So and then anyway, it was biting your shoe.
Chewing on my shoe. I don't know. It was just
and
one of the best...
Courtney got mad at you.
Sorry?
Then Courtney kind of got mad at you. You're like, it's biting my shoe.
Yeah, she's like, don't disturb it. I'm like, it's trying to eat my ankle.
Yeah.
Please. I'm sorry, but like, I really don't want it to chew on me.
Yeah.
But it was one of the best encounters I've ever had. Yeah.
Well, it's Malagasy civet. Civets are those big cats, maybe not that type, but the cats that some people keep as pets.
No, that's a serval.
Oh, a serval.
Civets are kind of weaselly looking.
Weaselly, right? Yeah, like mustelid looking things. But,
Saw a lot of those.
So, yeah, so that's my top five. But then the one, there's a lot of species of civet. The one animal that I didn't mention that I was thinking of initially was the Indri. Do you know what that is?
I remember
it. Kyle's looking at me. Indiri.
Indri.
So it's this giant lemur.
Yeah.
No tail. And it's the biggest lemur species. It's basically Madagascar's answer to a panda.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it looks like the crazy car lady animal. I forget what the one that was in the car with the
eye eye.
Oh, the eye eye.
It looks like the eye eye and the face, but a panda, the rest of it.
They're crazy, man.
That's bigger than the red-ruffed lemur?
Oh, yeah, much.
Okay. Oh, wow.
They're really big. Like, they're close to human-sized.
Really?
Like, wow. They're like probably 5-ish foot end-to-end.
Holy shit.
They're big animals, yeah. And type in Indri call and just play it for those listening because the sound it makes. So we went and stayed in this place. Man, I'm blanking on it. It's not far from Antananarivo, the capital. It's like a 2-hour drive. I'm blanking on the name of it. Hold on one sec, Kyle, before you play it. And we stayed in this tiny little lodge. Again, this was with Jess, like my first time there. No money, like sleep on floor, mats on the floor kind of thing. And we got in late at night and it was, you know, fucking dicey Tana is. So it was like, we're like pretty nervous being there. And we woke up in this unbelievable jungle to this sound. And it was like a life-changing experience.
Wow. That is crazy.
Isn't that amazing?
That is nuts.
Yeah. It's just an incredible.
Try and replicate it. Can you replicate it?
No, I can't do that. My voice doesn't get that.
Halukaku. Ah.
No, that's definitely not it.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm going to throw one more on the list. Just pull up Mouse Lemur.
Lots of lemurs.
We just do
lots of lemurs.
Entire pod on just cool animals. Cool animals, master.
Yeah,
like a different channel, like Ender the Wild Times. Yeah,
I had a staring contest with a mouse lemur one night. Where I just shined my flashlight on it, and it was just staring at me all cute. And we just looked at each other for like 30 minutes.
Cute. This is the first time, right this second, that I've realized the like cute punching bag in the Madagascar movies is a mouse lemur.
Yeah.
You remember like there's King Julian and then, yeah. And then there's like the one that's like, ooh, doo, 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 and they're like, shut up, Derek, or whatever his name is. That's him. That's Derek right there.
Yeah, there he is.
Yeah. Mort.
Mort. Great name.
Yeah. It's the first time I've realized that Mort was a mouse lemur.
Well, do you have any more, Pat, or you're just that one?
No, I'm not a biologist.
No,
I just know. I thought it was cool. I mean, I'm a big fan of the Malagasy dwarf hippo.
Yes.
I think that's a very cool animal.
Okay.
Well, I found one. Don't think they're still there.
No.
Is that one of the episodes you did on Extinctor Live?
Yeah, we went twice. Once for that. What was the other one?
For the, it was like the cryptidy one, oh man, I'm just too many friggin' fat tires.
What the fuck were you looking for the first time?
I was gonna say injury, but it's not the injury.
Somebody will comment in the.
It was the red rough lemur that we found that we thought was a case of mistaken identity. But
right.
We were looking for the. What's the name
this
of it? That Malagasy.
This is
name.
good pod.
We've done hundreds of like hours of TV, dude. It's hard to remember all of this.
I'm shocked that I.
Huh?
Packy lemur.
Yes, but I was. I knew that. I was trying to think of the name that they called Kisawala.
Kisawala.
Kisawala. That's Kisawala. The name I was trying to remember. I know it's the Packy lemur. I was trying to remember Kisawala.
That's right.
Yeah.
So what? Tell me about this thing, the Kisawala.
So where we went way up in the Mashwala Peninsula, just, you're going to be quizzed on all these names later.
Dishwala Peninsula?
Got it.
Yes,
yeah.
The band from our middle school days.
There was the Kisawala, which was this giant lemur that the locals had reported seeing that apparently was like a carnivore. They were scared of it, blah, 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 blah. Which, if you look at the like location and the historical evidence of when these things went extinct, there used to be this giant carnivorous lemur in Madagascar, well, part omnivorous, called the Packy lemur, which Kyle will pull up a picture of in a second here. And the Packy lemur, we believed, was what they were calling Kisawala. But then when we got there and looked into it, that's not right. Oh, yeah, that's from our
that's
show.
The red,
right
yeah, that's from Extinction yeah. Live.
But we believe what they were seeing were these very rare red ruffed lemur, which you're seeing there in that picture.
Go down to the one where he's right next to it, Kyle. He's 180 feet up a tree there.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know how many it really was. It was
probably
like 100.
About that. Yeah. It's very scary.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So now, wait, you're next to...
he didn't get that.
No, that's like superimposed.
Gotcha. Yeah,
that's
gotcha,
like
gotcha.
An editing.
That's the one you were looking for.
But they were close. I mean, they were like meteor swimming pool
in
the tree over from us. But yeah, it wasn't the Kisawala. It wasn't the Packy lemur,
which
I'm saying are the same thing. It was what we believe the locals were seeing, these very rare red ruff lemur, which are very big as well. They're like 4 or 5 feet long.
They're huge. Yeah.
And they're just very rare and very sporadic. And I think that people were mistaking them for this Kisawala Packy lemur thing because of the lack of abundance of them.
We may have talked about this before, but if you could do one more Extinct or Alive, what animal?
That's a great question. Yeah, you get one episode left. They're like, hey, we're going to do a 2-hour special. Big budget, though.
Well,
big budget.
Anything you want.
You want the honest answer?
No, I want a lie.
Okay, well, the lie is... The honest answer is I'd pick something that I feel like I'd have a really good shot at finding, hoping they'd do more. Not what I'd want to do, like, in my heart.
All right, give me the heart one. Give me the heart.
Because that's the honest answer. The honest answer is if they were like, hey, we're going to give you one more crack at this, I'd go look for one where I'm like, guys, we're going to find it. And I have a couple that I feel very strongly about, because then maybe they do another season and we could go back on our adventure.
All right, well, actually, why don't you rattle one or two of those off that you think you could find?
No, I can't do that for obvious reasons.
Giving it away?
Yeah, because if I talk about it, and there's people in the scientific community who know this, well, I mean, I could maybe say their names, but...
No, you don't have to.
These are animals that can be found.
Okay.
You know, that I'm very, very confident in. And it's because I have insider information, right? Because people reach out to me all the time.
If Joe Rogan asked you this question, would you have told him?
No.
He would.
Okay.
No, he would. I would have been like, oh, I don't know.
All right. So what's the one in your heart?
And by the way, the information that I have on these animals, the reason I'm not sharing it, I could say these animals' name, but if you dig deep enough on that animal, you can probably figure out where it is. And if you do that, if I do that on this podcast, it's not responsible.
Sure, because people will be out there.
Unless the right people know where and what these animals are, they can, especially one of them in particular, which is stunning, it'll be taken for the pet trade or something, and that'll create problems.
Yeah, you'll have like Neil Waters out there trying to,
or much worse, poachers.
Right, but my point is it's irresponsible to even say these animals because they're not well-known animals.
Okay.
And they can be found. They've just been missing from science for a long time, and they'll end up in the pet trade or something. So, to go back to the, like...
The subcockles of your heart.
I know what you would do.
What is it?
You would go to Papua and look for thylacine.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I also think has a strong likelihood of being found, given the right couple million-dollar budget and length of study and so on and so on.
Sure.
Right. Now, is Discovery or any of these networks going to care enough or pay enough? No.
Right.
You know, we're talking millions of dollars to find this. You know,
that's
3 to 6 months of hundreds, if not thousands, of camera trap survey.
Yeah.
Nobody's paying that for an episode of TV.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the biggest problems with everything is the funding.
Right.
You know, if you had an unlimited budget to do these types of things, tons of animals would probably be found, right?
Absolutely. You know, and with the whole colossal thing and thylacine coming back, it's like, is it even as worth it anymore? I'm serious.
That's like, an interesting question, an interesting take on it.
You know, they are going to bring that animal back. Like, they've announced it. They have the DNA for it, blah, 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 blah. Is it worth putting $2 million into going to find, I suppose it'd probably be, the diverged so long ago, it'd probably be its own subspecies, but is it worth spending $2 million to go find a photo of one in Western Papua or Papua New Guinea, or is that same $2 million better spent protecting some land in Tasmania to bring up the ones that somewhere like Colossal is going to make?
I also feel like if you found a thylacine and published the video and photo, like, it would be a race of like which billionaire could get there on their yacht and helicopter with their rifle and shoot it faster.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
Dude, the place where those things would be is not.
That's true.
Billionaire accessible.
It's not fun.
Like, don't get me wrong. Anywhere is billionaire accessible when you're a billionaire, but it's like you're not living comfortably. Like, it's miserable no matter how rich.
You might get hit with an arrow through your fucking neck.
At any point in time.
At any point in time.
Yeah.
That's the place you described one time where it's basically just a huge valley surrounded by mountains.
Yeah, pull up Western. You have to look up the mountain name. It's the highest mountain in Western Papua, not Papua New Guinea.
Yeah, I forget what it's called. But yeah, basically, once you get up over that mountain, which, you know, you basically are in like rainforest at the base and then you're in snow at the top.
Yeah.
Wow.
And once you get up over it,
you don't even need to do that, Kyle. Just put the roads in Western Papua. Just type Western Papua New Guinea and turn the roads on. You know how you show the roads somehow?
But and no one goes in there.
Right. Well, that's why
they estimate there's like at least, I can't remember what the estimate is, but it's like at least 40 uncontacted tribes.
Yeah.
Wow.
But the point is, like, see that whole central basin region where it says Papua down there?
Yeah.
The topography. Notice how there's not a single village or town. I mean, now that's not a small area. Like,
sure.
From Tiom over there to the border of
Orion Jaya, right?
Going right. Yeah, that's the mountain. There's nothing. There's absolutely nothing. Do you see that?
Yeah.
And if you look, that's all mountainous on either side and a drainage. And just the point is, I don't care if you're friggin' Elon Musk. Like, you're not living comfortably. And
no,
sure.
There's just no version of being comfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why it'll take millions of dollars and multiple months to do it properly.
Yeah, a year of planning.
Yeah,
possibly.
At least permits and the bureaucracy and the cameras. I mean, we've had whole cases of trail cameras stolen multiple times.
Yeah, of course. Like,
out there or just in general?
Just in general.
In general.
Like, we showed up. We shipped for the African black mane lion, the Cape Lion episode. We shipped a pelican of, I want to say, 20 or 30 trail cameras to South Africa ahead. Gone.
All of them?
Never arrived. Never showed up. In other words, at Johannesburg Customs went, this looks nice.
Yeah.
And that was it. Gone. Never to be seen again.
Yep.
Yeah. It's interesting hearing about just kind of the behind the scenes shit on just the productions that you guys do where, you know, like all these challenges, like with the Fern and them trying to take the credit.
Yep.
Like losing 20 cases of fucking cameras. Do you have this all in your mitigation plan when you plan this shit out, or is it like...
Nope.
Luckily, I don't handle any of that stuff. I don't know how it works.
I don't handle it either, but it doesn't go well. Yeah. Creates nothing but stress for everyone involved.
It's the guys handling that are like me and Mitch, Kyle.
All right, here we go. It's time.
What are we doing?
Battle Royal.
Really?
Really?
You have one?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. No Googling.
No Googling.
It better not be like one that I have to Google.
Battle Royale. Okay. Battle Royale. It is a snake draft. We are back. We're talking extinct animals here. You have to go and find an extinct animal. You got to pick the animal.
Okay.
You got to pick the companion, whoever you're taking with you. You got to pick the method.
A human?
Whatever you want. It can be a tracking dog. It can be a buddy.
Okay. All right.
It can be Bobby Flay.
Yeah. I was already thinking about what I'm going to be eating.
Yep.
And you got to
pick the method in which you're going to try and find that critter.
Okay. Oh my, can I go first?
Sure.
I'm going to pick.
Are you doing all three?
I'm going to start with my companion.
Okay.
I'm going to bring with me BTG.
Smart.
And I'll tell you why later. Bradley Trevor Grieve is going to come as my companion.
I like that.
Obviously he's going to regale you with stories if you're bored camping. He's big.
Very large.
And I believe that I believe I can outrun him.
Certainly agree with that. Yeah.
And he will try to protect me. No.
Why is he in a loincloth there?
Because he's weird.
He is weird and awesome.
All right. So that's my companion.
Great. Peter?
All right. I'm going to go searching for the Megalodon.
Okay. You know enough to do this the real
way. I'm doing it.
Okay.
I said Megalodon.
Fair enough. Very good.
Okay.
Okay, I'm up for two.
That's your animal? Okay.
I'm up for two. Snake draft.
It's going to make news.
It is.
Just that you're even searching for it.
Yep.
That's mm-hmm. True. News. Yeah, I mean, maybe not.
Megalodon again?
Big shark.
Oh, shit.
Did you not remember?
Go ahead.
I'm going to go on a search that I always wanted to do that was too difficult and logistically expensive. Stellar sea cow.
Ah, yes.
Yep.
That's a good one.
I'm going to go up to the Bering Sea.
Yep.
And look for the Stellar Sea Cow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And my method, I haven't picked my companion yet. My method of capture is going to be thermal drone. Giant marine mammal. All it has to do is surface. They're air breathing. I just need a fleet of thermal drones. Yep.
Okay.
I need a dozen plus thermal drones.
Spending some quiche on this, huh?
Yeah, we're going to need some quiche.
All right. All right.
Okay. Well, my method to find the Megalodon is obviously going to be a nuclear submarine.
It's good.
Thank you.
He's literally rewriting the Jason Statham movie.
Get your way down there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get what you're doing. You're like, if it's still hiding, it's got to be really living in the deep.
And if if we scare it to the surface, it's going to be a problem
nuclear
for all
sub,
those Chinese beaches.
Nuclear yes. sub,
AKA Jason Statham.
Nuclear sub, right. You can stay down for months. You don't have to come up. We can search for a very long time.
I like it.
Yeah. Now you're thinking like the team.
Mm-hmm. Now, I am going to use this method to search for my extinct. I should tell you what the animal is.
Probably.
So we're going to go search in West Papua for the thylacine.
Of course.
What we're going to do is our method is going to be, it's going to be very expensive. We are going to take a fleet of helicopters in.
Wow. That is.
We're going to bungee jump down into that valley.
Sick.
Detach ourselves.
So more of a rappel than a bungee jump.
And then I want it to be a bungee jump because I want to kind of get
heart.
The bounce because eventually
smart.
You stop bouncing.
Smart, smart. And then, so you're going to enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have some fun.
Yeah. Okay.
And then it's going to be the largest camera trap study in the history of mankind.
Okay.
In which we will deploy over 22,500.
That's very specific.
Cameras.
Yep.
And we're going to have, part of why it's going to be so expensive is a team will have already advanced and built a cell tower.
Wow.
And so they'll be the kind of camera that can live monitor.
So you're just going to be sitting back at the Four Seasons with your phone in your hand.
No, I'm going to help them as we deploy the cameras.
Okay.
That's going to be the hard work. And then we're going to just sit in a robust camp with a cook, Bobby Flay also, but yeah. And just monitor the cameras. And I'll tell you why I'm doing all this.
Please.
With BTG.
Yeah.
To make you jealous.
it'll work.
Yeah.
It'll work. Yeah.
You've got he's a little flush.
You've got
he's upset.
Cooler version of me and BTG. You've got the animal. Like, you're winning this game. Yeah.
22,500 plus cameras.
I was going to do like 200 cameras. No.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if the budget's unlimited, I'm going to update my, I'm going to have a fleet of nuclear submarines.
Fleets all around.
Everyone's got a fleet.
2,000 nuclear submarines.
I don't even think that many exist in the world.
Well, they will after this.
Okay.
And you know what? I'm just going to take my wife. We're going to have a good time. We're going to play card games down there.
I think it's going to be bickering. Close quarters.
No, no, we don't bicker.
If I was stuck in a sub with my wife for more than a day, I'd probably kill her.
She'd
probably kill me, actually.
They have different you don't want to be in a sub with the same person that you want to...
No.
Well, who says... Well, I mean...
He's like, I don't.
I mean, you know... I'm asexual.
I thought you were going to take Jason Statham.
No.
Yeah.
He would do me no good down there. He's just a dumb actor.
He wrote the entire plot of the movie, the movie The Meg.
Recep.
Listen, I don't have to do any of the work anyways because there's 1,999 other nuclear subs that are...
So you're just kind of overseeing.
Exactly. They all and each one of them has over 250,000 cameras on.
I mean, I really think you should have taken Statham. You would have a lot of fun.
Well, by the time you get back, one of the other submarines.
You'll be doing a spot on Statham impression. You should work on your impression.
He wouldn't play canasta with me.
Okay. All right, Forrest.
So I'm looking for the Stellar Sea Cow. Like everyone, I have a fleet with 7 million cameras on them of aerial drones.
Thermal
drones. And I'm going to take with me... I need a... Lizzo.
Okay.
Famous singer Lizzo.
I mean, this is how you're going to get it on TV.
Not only that, but I need a big bosom to warm me up at night. Something to cuddle up with at night. It's very cold up
there.
He's
doing my shtick now.
See, I'm surprised. I thought you were going to take Attenborough so that you could live edit and track the show. Or that he could just stand over your shoulder and just say what's going on.
No, and that would be wonderful. However, he's like 97, and I have a feeling he wouldn't contribute a lot. Whereas
Lizzo is
going to be entertaining. She's going to get it on TV. It's going to be out there. It's going to be very warming at night. I assume we're cuddling in this scenario.
By the way, also,
Lizzo,
just
if you're listening,
while you're eating dinner, her playing the flute is just wonderful entertainment. Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
No, this is not a dig at her. Like, this would be delightful to
of
be with
her. Of course, to have that level of entertainment when you're on a ship.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Usually you're on a ship, it's like, you know, some guy who, like, they discovered it like Chuckles Comedy Club in Pittsburgh.
Right, yeah.
Captain Ron.
Good. Yeah.
Getting one or two yucks. You're playing seasick cards.
At best. Yeah. Where the guy's got a catchphrase.
Yeah.
He's just like, what's going on with airport security? That's not right.
Yeah.
You're bringing Jerry Seinfeld. Like,
yeah.
That's all right. Well, Brosners, let us know which of these three expeditions you'd like to go on.
Actually, let us know this. Vote. Who would you be most likely, whose expedition would you contribute $5 towards if you had to put your money towards one?
Yeah.
So hit that thanks button under the video and contribute that $5.
No, I think they're going to pick Forrest because they're like, he actually knows what he's doing. These other guys are idiots.
But he's got
assholes.
Lizzo.
But I picked Lizzo. That was
true. I've got
sort of
BTG.
A dig on actually finding anything. Whereas you got BTG. And
but BTG is a replacement for you.
Yeah, so but he's
still one.
I have 2,000 nuclear submarines.
You started with one.
Yeah, but I didn't know what this was all.
All right, well, weigh in. Let us know whose expedition you'd contribute your hard-earned cash towards.
Yep.
And who you think's going to win. Also, you know what? Let's hear yours.
Yeah.
Yes.
Read out your top three, and we'll read out the best one.
Yes, we will.
In the comments, read out, I would go here, I would take this person, and I would use this method to find an extinct critter.
Yeah, I like it.
Love it.
Free t-shirt.
Sure. Fat tire t-shirt.
A free shirt.
Free shirt.
Yep.
Someone gets a shirt sent to them.
Yep.
Whichever's you can go two routes. Really scientific and it holds up.
Yep.
And it's good and it's like, yeah, that's great. Or just makes us laugh.
Yeah. Comedy wins. Yeah. You gotta be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Either one. Maybe two free shirts. We'll decide.
We'll
that's
decide.
How this podcast
maybe there'll
works.
Be a tie.
We make up the rules as we go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, great times.
Good times.
Let's go for a swim.
Wild times.
Hot as shit in this sweatshirt.
Mates. Good night. Love everybody except for you two.
Rude.
I'm watching. I don't get to see you do it in person, though.
It's hard to do with the mic.
I feel like you've spent a lot of time high doing that, just in a mirror.
I used to go to a lot of raves.
Yeah.
Did you?
See that.
Yeah.